Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
All right, here we go. Giants manager Gabe Kapler plans to use his position to speak out against racial injustice and provide a voice for those who aren't heard. Kapler and several of his players knelt during the national anthem before the Giants' 6-2 exhibition victory at Oakland last night. Kapler shared his plans when he addressed the team earlier Monday and said everyone would be supported by the Giants no matter what they decided to do. Kapler told his team, quote, "I wanted them to know that I wasn't pleased with the way our country has handled police brutality, and I told them I wanted to amplify their voices, and I wanted to amplify the voice of the black community and marginalized communities as well." Giants right fielder Jalen Davis and first base coach Antone Richardson, both of whom are black, also took a knee. Shortstop Brandon Crawford stood between them with a hand on each of their shoulders. John, how many players, managers, coaches do you expect to take a knee during the national anthem in Major League Baseball?
Less so than in other sports. Baseball has the lowest population of African Americans of any of the four major. Well, hockey, I think, would probably be worse, but most of baseball is white or Latin. But the fact that Gabe Kapler, who is white, by the way, for those who don't know, decided to take a knee to show support for his black players and coaches is a good sign. I would say, well, what's going to be weird, Mace, is normally the national anthem is not covered on TV or radio.
Correct.
So we'll find out after the fact. Some of the still photographers and some of the reporters will do stories like the one you just read, but it's not going to be immediate. I would say probably 30-40%. What do you think?
I think you're about right. I think 30-40%. Even though Gabe Kapler knelt last night, there were only two other players that knelt. I know that if I was in Gabe Kapler's role, I would absolutely take a knee and take advantage of that platform. Would you?
Well, I think you need to take the temperature of your team. I think if your team feels strongly about these issues, like in the NBA, a lot of coaches are going to do it.
Yes.
But maybe, if not all of them. In baseball, again, you've got to take the temperature of the room. You've got to make sure that the Latin players aren't, being disregarded. Or it's a whole political climate that you have to kind of manage, which is why I think it'll come out to about 30-40%.
Yeah, I think that's about right. Now, if I was baseball, and I'm not, if I was baseball, and I've suggested this before, I would put Black Lives Matter on the field the exact same way they're doing it in the NBA. And by the way, the NFL now is apparently looking at doing a Black Lives Matter detail that will be on a decal that will be on helmets during the football season. I just think it's tone deaf of baseball to do nothing, particularly when they are desperate to reach out to young black athletes and a younger generation that was out protesting the racial injustice after the murder of George Floyd. So no, read your room. You want a younger demographic following the game. You want more black athletes choosing baseball over basketball and the NFL. That's the way you do it. You show that you get it.
All right, Mace. Bill Barnwell, who covers football at ESPN, wrote this the other day about Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
Quote, "If Mahomes decided tomorrow to forego his contract and retire to become a professional beer pong hustler, he has already done enough to make it into the Hall of Fame." End quote. Now, this seems ridiculous, but Gale Sayers is in the Hall of Fame, and he only played 5 healthy seasons.
Yep.
Mahomes has played 3, and in the first one, he only started 1 game. First one, he was basically a bench player, so he's had 2 monster years. Sayers, scored 48 touchdowns in his career, 39 rushing and 9 receiving.
Yep.
Mahomes already has 76 touchdown passes, a league MVP, and a Super Bowl MVP. If he stopped playing today, would Patrick Mahomes make it into the Hall of Fame?
Absolutely not. You need a larger sample size than two seasons in one game. I mean, that's not enough to say you're one of the greatest of all time. It's not the hall of the they could have been good. It's the hall of they were great, and he's not yet at that point.
You are 110% right. Hall of Fame is for statistical dominance over a long period of time or championship excellence over a long period of time. Mahomes has neither. He's got 2 years of monster numbers. And by the way, last year, remember, he got hurt for 4 or 5 games. He's a great player. Now, it's a different question if you ask, do you think he will eventually make it to the Hall of Fame? Because my answer to that is yes.
But me too.
But to suggest that he could go in based on what he's done in 2 years is absurd and weird because Bill Barnwell is normally pretty sharp.
Yes, he is.
He must have wrote this column when he was doing something else because that makes no sense.
It was Hot Take Bill. Hot Take Bill. All right. There will be a brand new national women's soccer team. Let me see. That's not a women's soccer team. There will be a brand new professional women's soccer team coming to Los Angeles for 2022. They are following the LAFC model. Owners include Uzo Aduba from Orange is the New Black, Jessica Chastain, Jennifer Garner, America Ferreira, Ava Longoria, Natalie Portman, Serena Williams. No word on where they will play. John, does LA have room for women's pro soccer?
For whatever reason, Mace, and I can't understand it because I was somebody who covered the 99ers, the Women's World Cup team in 99 that sold out the Rose Bowl and, you know, where Brandi Chastain scored that winning goal. And it was lightning in a bottle. Like, you couldn't get – you couldn't have sold it. You could have filled 2 Rose Bowls. Pro women's soccer has never been able to capitalize on what the Women's World Cup team has been able to capitalize. So the answer to your question, and I know I'm ducking it, is I don't know. Just because they've never been able, you would think with Alex Morgan and even going back to like Hope Solo and Christine Lilly and Julie Foudy and all these great players, you know, Megan Rapinoe is kind of, yep, has kind of broken out of the sport.
Sure.
That you would say, sure, of course it's going to be a hit, but it just never has been.
Yeah, I don't know if there is shelf space available, but, you know, women's soccer does have a huge following, so I'm rooting for them. I wonder where they're going to play. I wonder if they're going to play at Bank of California Stadium. I haven't heard yet, but that would improve their odds, playing at that beautiful venue.
Yeah, either there or down at where the Chargers played, where they call it Dignity Health. It's got to be in a small stadium.
Yes.
If they go big, they're dead. But if they stay small, they'll do it. All right, Mace, yesterday it was announced that high school sports in the entire state of California have been canceled for the fall and moved to the spring. On the same day, the Florida High School Athletic Association announced it's going to allow schools in coronavirus hotspots to opt to keep playing regular season games through December. I'll let you answer this any way you want to. And I've said it on about about 20 different subjects. What is Florida doing?
I have no friggin' idea.
I mean, it's like, why?
You know, here's the thing. The world, really, with the exception of Brazil, has got coronavirus under control. We're like the world's capital of coronavirus. And by the way, Florida is the national capital of coronavirus. I don't understand. Now, it may be changing a little bit today. I know the president had a press conference and said that he thinks wearing a mask is the patriotic thing to do. So maybe people will start wearing masks. But I don't understand how difficult it is. And I'm just shocked at the level of reach. Are you telling me that all these high school kids, you're going to be able to test them and secure that they're safe? I mean, there's no possible way there's that much money in the state of Florida for public high schools and private high schools to test every single player. Well, it's completely and totally irresponsible.
You keep correctly pointing out, every day we talk about stuff like this, that the key to pulling off a sport in the state of the world right now is that you're able to test almost every day and, you know, if you need to, for the entire season. And in high school, you just can't do it. And so why risk it? What's the point? Move it to the spring like everybody else. What do you lose if you move high school football to the spring if you're in Florida? It's Florida. It's not like it's going to be a huge temperature swing between now and March.
Right.
I don't get this one at all.
Yeah, I don't get it either. And by the way, Texas did exactly the same thing. All right, my Los Angeles Rams will no longer have a bell cow running back this year, John. Todd Gurley's gone. They will now have a stable of running backs with Malcolm Brown, second-year man Darrell Henderson out of Memphis, and rookie Cam Akers. Sean McVay says, quote, "We feel good. We got three really good guys on our roster that have played football. When you look at Darrell Henderson, Malcolm Brown has consistently produced in that number two role behind Todd, and then Cam Akers is a guy that we're excited about. So we got three backs that we feel like are all NFL legitimate starting caliber backs, and not feeling like you've got to force carries or touches to any one of them. Just open mind and see how these guys do." John, are the Rams better off at running back now than they were entering last year?
Well, think about this. The two teams that made the Super Bowl last year were the Chiefs and the Niners.
Yep.
Neither one of them had a bell cow running back.
Nope.
It was running back by committee. That's where the league is going. I think Sean McVay is 100% right. Now, let me tell you what doesn't make sense to me about your Rams. One of the reasons McVay is right about the running back situation is I think with a shortened training camp, no preseason games, a lot of backups are going to play this year. I think that there's going to be a lot of soft tissue injuries. There's going to be a lot of guys that get hurt just because they weren't able to ramp up. Why in the world? I think every backup quarterback this year, Mace, is going to take snaps if they end up playing. Every one of them. Why in the world would you go with a backup quarterback who's never taken an NFL snap? Why risk that?
That's the one I don't get.
Running back, to answer your question, I get it. I'm with Sean McVay, and I understand what they're doing. Quarterback, I have no idea. Do you?
Nope, I got no idea. John Wolford has never taken a snap in the NFL. He right now is the backup quarterback for the Rams. That is a lot of pressure on a kid. If Jared Goff even has to miss a half, you're going to go to a completely unproven guy. I mean, maybe they're just waiting around to sign Blake Bortles again, who is still out there as a free agent, and I would feel a heck of a lot better about, especially since he's been in the system for a year. But as of right now, I do not understand how you can go into a season with John Wolford as your backup quarterback.
Yeah, I don't get that one either. But the running back thing, I'm okay with. The quarterback thing, not so much.
All right, John, you ready? You ready? You ready?
Ready for what?
We're going to go inside the bubble next. Yeah. With Tanya Ganguly from the LA Times, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, listen, on Friday, we're celebrating Lakers Fan Friday. Listen and win a Lakers prize pack, which includes a Lakers jersey, a Lakers limited edition collectible figurine from Small Stars, and exclusive access to our Lakers virtual watch party on July 30th against the Clippers. It's brought to you by Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut's kitchens are safely open and serving large pizzas with three toppings for $9.99. Order for delivery or carry out at pizzahut.com. Now it's bubble time, John.
And we're going to Tanya Ganguly, who has been covering the Lakers for years for the LA Times. And Tanya is in the bubble. Tanya, thank you for doing this. How are you holding up?
No problem. I'm okay. I'm good. I got out of quarantine. That was, I think, the rough stretch. But this is just the beginning. So So
how many times have you been tested at this point?
I've been tested every day I've been here. So I got in on Sunday the 12th, and it's now the 21st, so I guess 9 times.
Wow.
And so Tanya, if your test is positive, you get an email. And if your test is negative, you get an email. And if your test is positive, you either get a call or a visit from the doctor. Do I have that right?
I think so, yeah. I think you get a call if your test is positive. So, they send us an email once the test results are available. And I usually don't even check it because I know that they're going to, they'll make sure that you know it if you tested positive.
Right, right.
Okay. So you're out of your quarantine now? You're out of, and you're actually able to move around?
I am, yeah. I've been going to a bunch of practices. I'm actually just left 76ers practice, and I'm going to go check out the Bucks practice next. I go to Lakers and Clippers every day, so I'm doing a lot. I was cooped up for a while, but now I'm walking a ton.
Oh, good. Tanya Ganguly from the LA Times is with us. Tanya, what do you know about the Morris brothers, Marcus and Markieff? What's the latest on them?
Well, Marcus is here. Marcus is at Clippers practice today. I'm not positive. I think this is the first practice that he was at because they didn't have practice yesterday. And then Markieff is, I believe, is supposed to land today. He might have done so already. But he's going to have to go through a quarantine period. It should be 3 tests that he'll have to take. And once he's done with that, then he can rejoin the team. So there's a really strict process for players being reintroduced to the team right now, because I think there's definitely a consciousness in the NBA that they haven't had any positive tests in the last week. And if a player is going to be coming in, they want to make sure that continues.
Yeah. So have you were at Lakers practice today? How much of the practice are you able to observe?
Not very much, but honestly, it is more than we see in LA. We do get to see, a few days ago, we got to see a little bit of the 5-on-5 scrimmage, which was fun to watch. We got to hear Frank Vogel talk about how great Kyle Kuzma has been in practice during that practice to his team. So, you know, I do think we get to see a little bit more than normal. It's mostly the stuff at the very beginning and very end of practice, though. So you're not getting to see like the meat of things, but they are making a conscious effort to make sure that if we're there, they're giving us just kind of a glimpse into what they're doing.
Tanya Ganguly is with us. Tanya, what's your confidence level that they're going to pull this off? I'm feeling pretty good about it, but you've got a better look at it than I do because you're in there. Adam Silver has warned everybody from the beginning that there are going to be bumps in the road, that there may have to be adjustments. Where's your confidence level that this is going to go off the way they've laid it out?
The real test for that is going to come when they start to allow family members in. Right now, they've created kind of a self-sustaining ecosystem. You know, the one thing, though, there is a group of people that is coming in and out, and they do get tested, but they are still going home to their families and then coming to work here, and that's the people who work at Disney, and also the people who are doing the testing. They aren't staying on the campus. So there is a group of people that's not part of this controlled, self-sustaining little ecosystem, and so that's where you have a little bit of concern. But also, once they start allowing families in, I think they have a lot less control over guests than they do over players, and so that's going to be a test for this experiment.
What's your confidence on NBA players following the rules? Like, I know Dwight Howard has had a couple of instances where he wasn't wearing a mask. What's your sense of how players are treating the rules? Are they treating them with the proper level of seriousness?
Most of them, it seems like they are. I don't think Dwight Howard believes that there's any point to wearing a mask on the. In fact, it's not that that's what I think. That's what he has said. That there's not really any point, he feels, to wearing a mask on the campus. I mean, the NBA is really just trying to minimize risk as much as possible. So that's the reasoning for that. But I'm sure there are other players like him who feel like, why do we have to do this? This is dumb. But there is I mean, I think most teams are making a real effort to make sure that people are following the rules and aren't jeopardizing the thing that could have. I mean, if they do actually jeopardize the if they do actually jeopardize this whole thing, there's a lot at stake. There's a lot of money at stake. There's the future of the league and what kind of what the players can get out of it at stake. And that's why they're back doing this. That's why they came to Florida in the middle of a pandemic and are trying this. So I do think there's sort of a shared responsibility that people feel when they're here.
Tanya, how are the games going to work? Are you going to be allowed to go to the games in person when the games end? Are you allowed to interview players face-to-face? Or what's the protocol for you and the other reporters once these games? I know the scrimmages are starting tomorrow. The Clippers have one tomorrow. The Lakers have one Thursday. Are you able to kind of cover those like you cover games normally or not at all?
It's not normal, but I am able to be there. I do get to go to, I get to go. I have seats that are, it's funny because they keep, the NBA people keep saying like, oh, the seats here are just so much better than anywhere you are in the league. And I was like, well, Staples Center seats are really good. So the Staples Center seats are actually better than our seats here, but they're still really good. They're better than most of the league. They're closer. They're kind of in a corner, very close to the court. So we'll get to sit there. There's people that are going to be coming that are not going to be inside the bubble, and those people will be a little bit farther out. They'll be in the 200 level. It's a small arena, so there really aren't that many bad seats. But, you know, after the game, I mean, the sideline reporter's job is going to be remote. There's going to be a no-touch camera that's, like, right near the sideline, and that's how they're going to communicate and do their interviews. So it's just going to be a very different experience from all sides.
Tanya Ganguly, LA Times, is with us. She's inside the bubble down in Orlando with the NBA, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So Tanya, what's the general vibe around that Lakers team since you've had a chance to be around them?
They're kind of back to where they were, you know, like that really fun-loving type of feeling that you saw when they were together. I think they're starting to recapture that. I think they're really excited to be around each other and to be able to play basketball again. So, I mean, today I posted a video today of Deion Waiters dancing when they were doing their warm-up stretching, and like some of the other players were joining in and they were singing and rapping along with the music. So, you know, it's a very light atmosphere. Anthony Davis said today that he felt like they don't have that far to go to be where they want to be when the game starts. So that's, I guess, an encouraging thing if you're a Lakers fan.
Tanya, last thing for me. I'm just curious for what this is like for you. Are you bored? I mean, is there enough for you to do when you're not working, or do you look at this as kind of a cool, weird road you get to go down, or like what's your mood like down there?
I have not had very much time when I'm not working.
Really?
There's so much to do work-wise. You know, there's 22 teams here, and you can request to go to their practices. There's 10 independent media members, and then there's about 7 that are either ESPN or Turner or NBA Entertainment, and you know, so like that's a really small number for covering basically the whole league right now.
Yeah,
and so I just, you know, like you can go to so many teams' practices. I feel like I have to, you know, I have this opportunity to go see what the Sixers are doing. I should go do it. I had this, you know, like I've kept so busy doing that. But you know, it's not been very long since I've only been out of quarantine for, I think this is the third day, so maybe I will get bored at some point, but that hasn't happened yet.
Well, listen, Tanya, we appreciate it. I hope we can call on you again. I know you're busy down there in the bubble, as they say, but I hope we can call on you again in the future.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Tanya. Stay safe. Yeah, that's interesting that there's only 17 media members down there. You know, normally there would be 40 at one game.
Yeah, that's crazy. And ducking into every single practice. That's good. That's good what she said about the Lakers sort of finding that fun-loving nature that they had. Coming up next, John, we've talked about the MVP race, and it does come down to LeBron or Giannis. LeBron was asked a question about it yesterday. I'll bring you the answer next. Plus, did you hear the special birthday wish that Zion Williamson got?
No.
We'll play that for you next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Okay, you know what the Cameo app is?
Yep.
It's where semi-famous
people... I'm surprised you don't
people,
do it.
If somebody wants me to... Didn't we just have a request to do a birthday thing? I mean, I'll just do it for free if somebody wants me to do a birthday wish. I don't need to...
Until you get hundreds of them a week for famous
Mace. I don't want to make, you know, $39 off somebody just for saying happy birthday.
39 would be a lot. I wouldn't charge that much.
39 would be high. So Zion Williamson got one of these. And by the way, yeah, if you want us to wish somebody a happy birthday, I'm happy to give them a call. Zion Williamson got one of these, and it was from someone very special, John. Funch, go ahead and hit that.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. It's Carol Baskin at Big Cat Rescue, and our guy Zion is turning 20 years old. The cool cats and kittens at Overtime have loved watching you play and grow over the years and can't wait to watch you dunk on everybody in Orlando. We're always rooting for the coolest cat around, and that's Big Z. Stay cool.
Carol Baskin.
All right. Your
wait,
obsession,
but we got the song, too.
Your obsession with this show...
No, it's
if Carol Baskin.
I'm not upset. Zion wanted this. Zion was obsessed with the show. He wanted to hear from Carol Baskin.
Zion's
I don't need to hear
idiot.
From Carol Baskin.
Oh my gosh, Carol Baskin's a murderer. Don't you think she killed her first husband?
She did. She ground him up in a grinder and she fed him to the tigers. There's no question about that. But that's the birthday wish that Zion wanted.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
The show will go down in history as something we all talked about for about 10 days.
Seriously, why doesn't Carol Baskin have the same reputation as OJ? I'm serious.
Well, there's no evidence.
What do you mean there's no evidence? You don't think Carol Baskin did it? You watch the show.
No, all I'm saying is there's no evidence. I mean, with OJ, there was tons of evidence.
Where is the guy?
He's gone. That's her whole point. If they found remains of him, it would be a different
story.
There
are no remains. She ground him through a meat grinder.
It's hard to prove murder without the body.
Well, the body is meat. It's ground beef.
I know. So how do you find
him? She fed him to the tigers.
She fed him to... I completely agree with you. God, remember the tiger? Tiger King was... When was that? March? That was a big deal.
Was it pre-pandemic?
I think it was March,
no.
Late March, early April.
It was early pandemic. It was early pandemic because we were totally locked up. And remember when Tiger King was on, we kept saying, yeah, but when's that Jordan thing start?
You're right.
We were just waiting for the Jordan thing to start because Tiger King was inferior binge watching. But fun. All right,
do we have the song that she sang? Because that was really good, too.
Do you have that?
Song
yeah, we
that
have another
sang?
Cameo from Carol Baskin.
Okay, we don't know who this is for?
No, we don't.
Okay, so here's another cameo.
It's still priceless.
From the cool cats and kittens lady, Carol Baskin.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. It's Carol Baskin and Howard Baskin at Big Cat Rescue, and we are here with the Crip Mates to wish Charlotte a happy birthday. Go Charlotte! It's your birthday. We're going to party like it's your birthday. We're going to sip Bacardi like it's your birthday. And you know we don't give a fudge that it's your birthday.
Fudge.
Seriously, if OJ did that, would you guys be laughing?
No, but there's no evidence that Carol Baskin... There's even an open investigation for years. They haven't found a shred of evidence, so you can't...
Right, but what do you think?
You can't charge her with anything.
What do you think?
Oh, I mean, I think she fed her husband the
yeah,
tigers.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But it's hard to say without you can't compare her to OJ.
Why not? I just did. They both killed somebody.
Well, OJ killed two people, and there was a lot of evidence linking him to the murder. Mm-hmm. There's no evidence linking Carol Baskin defeating her husband to the Tigers, because the Tigers ain't the evidence.
Exactly.
All right, so LeBron was asked yesterday about the MVP race. We know that the voting will happen. None of the seeding games will count. So the MVP award is for all the games that were played before the pandemic. Here's what LeBron James says about the MVP award.
As far as the MVP race, I think I, show what I'm capable of doing. Not only individually, but from a team's perspective, us being number one in the West. There was a lot of conversation about, LeBron can do those things in the East, but if he ever came to the West, what can he do? I heard all of that, and to be able to have our team at the top of the Western Conference and playing the way that we were playing at that time and the way I was playing, that's definitely a good feeling.
Here is Anthony Davis and his MVP argument for LeBron.
He's playing like probably one of his best years. Top team in the West. The things he's able to do on the floor. Especially when everybody was saying, he was washed and he should hang it up and all this thing. He come back with a dominant performance. And then just to be even in the race, at this age, at this point in his career, and for me to sit every night and the things he do on a consistent basis, not, in stretches, three games here, four games here, but he does it every night. And he's been doing it his whole career. I think, it's a good argument for him to be MVP.
All right, so here's my – I'll piggyback on Anthony Davis. Here's my reason I'd vote for LeBron. He leads the league in – he averages 25 points a game and
yes.
leads the league in assists. So he sets up another 30 points a game, another 25 to 30 points a game by leading the league in assists.
Yes.
When he's off the floor, the Lakers' net rating goes down. Okay, like that's how much of a difference he makes. Like they have a negative net rating. When Giannis leaves the floor, the Bucks rating still stays up, stays positive. So they're more of a team structure. LeBron is the reason why the Lakers are in first place. So that's why I would, and the West is harder than the East. So that's why I would vote for LeBron. But I think Giannis will probably win.
Yeah, I think Giannis is going to win. He's a heavy favorite in Vegas.
If you play for the Lakers, for whatever reason, it's harder to win awards. Phil Jackson won one NBA Coach of the Year, and I think it's when he was in Chicago. Pat Riley won it once.
And didn't Kobe only win one MVP?
One MVP.
Yeah.
People, you said it earlier that Rob Pelinka deserves the Executive of the Year award, but he probably won't win it. Because
yeah, there's a lot of jealousy when it comes to the Lakers.
Right. So, but I would vote for LeBron.
Yeah, I would vote for LeBron also.
I think that without LeBron, the Lakers are terrible. Without Giannis, the Bucks are still pretty good.
Do you really believe that? Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe, you think that's really good?
Well, replace Giannis with somebody that's an all-star but not him. Okay, replace him with Pascal Siakam. I think that Milwaukee maybe doesn't have the best record, but they still have a 40-plus win team. He only plays 30 minutes a night. You already said it yourself. So
yeah, that's
really,
all they need. That's all
really,
they need him.
They're really balanced.
Yeah, I mean, they've got the best net rating in the league.
But I don't want to take anything away from Giannis. I think he's a great player. I just would vote for LeBron.
Yeah, I would vote for LeBron.
I'm very biased because I see LeBron play every game. But that makes me, I think, even more qualified to make the argument. Until LeBron got to the Lakers, I had done probably, 7-8 years of his game. So I saw him 15 to 20 times a year. And I didn't realize what an unbelievable passer he was until he got to the Lakers.
Yeah.
Guy's got eyes in the back of his head. He's going to be the only player in NBA history to finish top three in points and assists.
Yep.
He's unbelievable.
Second greatest player ever to play the game.
Well, and he's got some time to make his case for the number one spot, too.
Jordan 1, LeBron 2. LeBron needs a couple more chips to be competitive with
Well, he needs three to catch Jordan, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get three. He's not going to catch Jordan. But there's something to be said for going to the finals as many times as he
has. I don't know, man. After he wins the next three, I'll remind you.
You think he's going to win three more chips?
Why not?
Oh, you really are. You've got purple and gold glasses on.
Of course I do. Why not? If Anthony
purple
Davis,
and gold
I agree
suit.
With John.
You know what? I agree. You're a total LeBron suck up, Lindsay.
Well,
because I mean, I've watched him extensively in the playoffs, and when you said that you thought that the Bucks have a better chance than the Lakers, I said, "Have you seen LeBron play in the playoffs?" I mean,
well,
it's unlike anything you've ever seen before.
You know, all I'm doing is playing I'm playing the numbers. I'm just playing the numbers.
Right.
The numbers also said
I've
that
got Milwaukee
no
in the finals.
The Cavs
now.
Were going to come back from a 3-1 deficit, and guess what? They defied the numbers.
Yes,
That's what LeBron does.
I do know the history.
Hey, Mace, one of your favorite guys is coming on next.
Really?
Bill Plunkett.
He's coming on next?
Yeah, isn't he?
Lindsay, is that correct?
That's right.
Yeah. Why do you act so surprised? You ever look at the rundown?
Oh, no, because I thought Radio Tinder was next. That's what screwed me up.
Yeah, and then remember we moved it because we had Bill Plunkett coming up next.
Bill Plunkett next, Radio Tinder next hour.
Okay, good. And then Game of Games at 5:45. All right, all that stuff coming up. Bill Plunkett next. Obviously, we couldn't find anybody else. He will join us next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. You know what I always say? When you can't get anybody else, get Bill Plunkett from the Southern California News Group.
That's not very nice.
And he joins us now. Hey, Bill, how are you, man?
I am not surprised you can't get anyone else with that kind of
Very well said, Bill.
Good, Bill.
No one else will put up with this.
Yes,
no, you're
that
right.
That is true. Bill, I'm going to give you a little credit here. You put it out there before any of us thought it, that Gavin Lux might not be on the roster on opening day. You said it was not a lock that he was going to be the starting second baseman, and today that came to fruition. He will start the season on that second group of 30, not the 30 that will make up the major league club. How much of that has to do with how he's been playing versus the fact that the Dodgers can protect a year of his free agency if they don't bring him up until August?
Well, yeah, we were kind of reading the tea leaves back in March when in, you know, the actual spring training, and it seemed to be heading this direction. And I point blank asked Andrew Friedman the service time manipulation question. And if you go to my Twitter feed, I put the answer on there. And basically he was, his reaction was, how could you even ask us with the way we've handled young players over the last 5 years? And he's right. I mean, guys like Buehler and Bellinger and Seager, they didn't hesitate. When they were ready, they brought them up. So I will give them the benefit of the doubt and say that that is not the motivation behind this. I just think Gavin has some things to work on. I mean, he really flew to the top of the prospect rankings last year with the way he tore up AAA. But he didn't exactly tear it up in the majors in September. Didn't look all that great in spring training. And now, you know, during summer camp, he was one of the guys who reported late and got a late start on it. So, you know, maybe his swing isn't quite ready yet. I just think they have no reason to force him. I mean, that lineup
right.
is terrific. They have
yeah,
plenty of options.
So, speaking of options, who gets more? Now, who do you pencil in as the guy who played the most second base? I know they're going to mix it up, but who's the, for lack of a better word, who's the everyday starter at second?
I think Kike will probably get the majority of the starts there, and he's looked pretty good in summer camp. Plus, he is, of the options, he's the by far the best defender. Chris Taylor's good, but Kike is even better. And I think Max Muncy will occasionally be there, but probably not too often.
Bill Plunkett, Southern California News Group, is with us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Talk to me about Walker Buehler. He apparently is not fully built up. Is he still? Do you anticipate that he will start the second game of the season, or is he going to be delayed?
No, he'll start in Houston next week. You're going to get Kershaw, Stripling, Wood, Urias in the first four. I think that's the order, the way they, based on when they've been throwing in bullpens and such. But Buehler, he got a little defensive when we asked him about this today. He said, yeah, you know, when things were shut down in spring training. Everything was so uncertain. He took a week or so off and wasn't throwing, wasn't playing catch or anything. So he doesn't think he's that far behind. He looked terrific in the intra-squad game, only pitched to seven batters, retired them all. And he'll throw again in the next day or two, intra-squad or sim game type thing, build up to, say, four innings in that neighborhood. So when he pitches next week, it would be he would probably be able to go five if those five innings, the pitch count doesn't get out of hand. And then the plan is to piggyback Dustin May with him. And Dustin May has looked pretty good in summer camp, too. Mm-hmm. So if you get four innings out of Buehler and three out of Dustin May, you're into the back of the bullpen if you have a lead.
We're talking to Bill Plunkett, who covers the Dodgers for the Southern California News Group. Bill, we had Buster Olney on probably 10 days ago.
Oh, you got him, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, we haven't had him since, so we may have burned the bridge. Who knows? But Buster, we asked him, what percentage chance do you give this whole experiment to work? And he cut it into two parts. He said, I give him a 30% chance to start on time, and I give him a 0% chance to finish on time. He goes, there's going to be delays and diversions. I think now he would up that 30% to much higher because we're just a couple of days away. But how would you answer that question? What percentage chance do you give that this thing plays out the way they've laid it out?
I've said this for a while now. I put it pretty high. I say about 75%. And I know that sounds like I'm an optimist, and you know that's not true. It's actually very cynical because I think everything they're doing is being done with the target of October and collecting the postseason TV money.
Yep.
So I think they will forge on through almost anything to get to October and cash that check. Now, that being, you know, that aside, nobody's traveled yet. Starting, you know, in a couple of days, you're going to have, you know, 30 teams moving all around the country into various cities with different states of, you know, coronavirus surge or, you know, requirements. And I just think that's when the danger starts, when you're moving these groups of people all around the country for 2 months.
Yeah, you don't really have to worry, right, because the Dodgers are going to Texas and then Arizona.
Right,
like, you know, like two of the hottest spots in the country.
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong?
So the one thing, though, that is encouraging, Bill, is that the positivity rate has been very, very low. I think they tested over 800 people in the last week, and it came in at like six people, 0.05%. They had 5 days last week with no positive tests amongst players and support personnel. So what they're doing now does seem to be working.
Yeah, and nobody's traveling. Everyone's going from their ballpark to their home, whether it's their actual home or a hotel that they're staying at for summer camp. But there's no moving around the country. There's no interacting with hotel workers or restaurant workers. There's no temptation to go out for a beer after the game in Phoenix, Houston, wherever. So I'm not surprised. I mean, I'm encouraged, but I'm not surprised by those numbers now when they're all in summer camp and, you know, essentially confined to very little interaction.
Bill, I may have asked this before. I can't remember, but Mason and I argue back and forth about this division. I think the Dodgers are going to run away with it. I think they're going to win by at least five games. Mason thinks it's coming down to the final weekend. He thinks that a 60-game sprint is there's anybody can get hot, and it's going to be decided on the last weekend of the year. I look at that Dodger lineup, and I think no way. They're going to win by 5 to 7 games. What do you think?
I think that Mason is always wrong, and he's wrong on this as well. I mean, they're just too good. They're so much better than the Padres and the Diamondbacks. We won't even talk about the Giants and the Rockies.
Bill, friendo.
No,
friendo.
Friendo.
I was on a Zoom call this morning. I think the 30 guys that will be at the alternate training site for the Dodgers could probably finish third in this division.
Look, I hope you guys are right. I hope it goes perfectly and the Dodgers win by 10. That's what I'm rooting for. But I realistically, and I, you know, these are just numbers that are facts. The Dodgers in the last 7 years have won the division 7 times. Only twice have they been leading the division after 60 games. I mean,
but they haven't had this easy of a schedule.
Yeah,
they haven't had this easy of a schedule, Mace. They're only playing 9 teams.
But every team they're playing, everybody
records last year.
Arizona's playing the same teams. I mean, Arizona's playing the same schedule. Arizona's the team I worry about, and the Padres a little bit I worry about as being teams that can score ahead.
First of all, I don't think the last 7 years are a fair barometer, because you play the first 60 games of a season differently when you know that you have 162. I think that's a big part of it. I think that having played deep into October, when you come back in February, it doesn't, I can say this from personal experience, it doesn't feel like it was that long. And it's a grind mentally and physically. These guys have had lots of rest.
Yeah.
Clayton Kershaw is healthier now than he's been since probably 2015. There's a lot of factors that would play into a slow 60-game start in the past years. This year, they know they got to hit the ground running. They know every game is 2.7 times more important than it normally is. I just don't think you're going to see that kind of a slow start. And they are highly motivated with the trade for Mookie Betts. We saw that from February in spring training. They think they have something special in this team, and they want to go out and prove it.
Hey, Bill, I just said a little while ago on the show that I think one of the most important players on that roster this year is going to be Blake Treinen, who's two years ago, 38 saves and a .78 ERA for the A's. Last year broke down a little bit, but if he's healthy and if he's right and if he's setting up for Kenley Jansen, I think the Dodger bullpen is completely solid.
Yeah, I think he could really take them to another level, one that they haven't had since Brandon Morrow was, you know, running shotgun for Kenley. And I would even add in that if Treinen is that guy and Kenley isn't and struggles, you have a plan B that you didn't have in the past couple of years when Kenley was having some downtime.
Yeah,
so, I think he could be really transform that bullpen. I would throw another X factor in there to be Corey Seager. Everybody's talking about Betts and Bellinger, and I think because of the year away from the surgeries and stuff, that everybody's forgotten how good Corey Seager is. And, you know, he had a pretty darn good year last year despite missing 15 months or whatever it was. And now he's a year healthier, a year farther from surgery. I think he could be a real force in that lineup now.
Hey, one last guy I want to ask you about, because he captures the imagination of Dodger fans because he throws 100-plus miles an hour. What do you think of
Brezder? You're going to ask about Puig.
what do you think of Brezder Graterol?
I think he's another guy who could be a real weapon in the bullpen. Very raw, 21 years old, and had some health issues last year with the shoulder. So I think he could be another element out there. You know, you've got a guy who can come out and just throw flames. But again, 21 years old, you don't know what you're going to get yet.
Bill, thank you for doing this.
Bill, thanks.
We hope you can find a way to navigate all this.
Thank you for all this information.
Yeah,
really appreciate it.
I'll be out there at an empty stadium. It's going to be fun.
That's weird. It must be weird, right?
It really is. Yes, I will. I mean, they've added the crowd noise, and they're doing music as if, you know, it's a normal game, and just as loud as always. But it's just weird.
So, Bill, when they play that one cheer that I love, Funch, do you have that? I love listening to the game, and when I'm at a game, I always clap your hands.
Did they do that one? I never noticed.
Now, do you clap when that comes on?
I do not. I am an objective reporter. I do not clap, even if they say everybody. I do not clap.
You're not part of everybody. You're a reporter. All right. Hey, Bill, good talking to you. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you soon.
Take care, guys.
Okay. There's Bill Plunkett. I don't know. I always do. Everybody, clap your hands. Do you do it, John?
I do not. I think
that's one of those things that you kind of have to do it when you hear it.
It's an obligation that you have.
Mace, coming up.
Yeah.
I know we have Radio Tinder coming up next hour. We also have Game of Games. I think Alden Gonzalez is going to join us. We have a lot of stuff.
Wow.
But coming up next, something has happened.
Okay.
That I predicted would happen.
Oh, of course you did.
And you swore up and down,
yeah,
with all your veracity, would never happen. And it has very quietly happened. And I'll, you know what I'm talking about?
No, no clue.
I will tell you what it is next.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.